I am one of those crazy preachers, and if y'all haven't figured this out in the 5 years I've been here, when things happen to me, when I experience certain things, I tend to, and this was a lesson taught to me by my wife, I tend to stop and say, okay, God, what is it that you're trying to teach me? What is it that you're trying to show me? There's so many times where I'll be talking to her on the telephone, and I'll be stopped at the railroad track. You know, between my house and the church, there's not one set of railroad tracks, Bob, but there's two sets of railroad tracks. And there's been many times as I've been driving from here to the house that I'll turn that corner, and Laney's over there, yep. I'll turn that corner, and the traffic will be stopped, and Dan, you know, y'all know, there'll be a train. And every now and then, this doesn't happen very often, but as you turn the corner, there'll be one train, and you sit there, and it's going this way. And Jason, just as soon as that one gets done, the guardrails go down in front of the other one, and a train goes this way. And you're just like, oh, okay. This happened to me one time, Glenn, once or twice. I know one time for sure. So I get just across the tracks, and there's a train coming in front of me, and then it's not, I mean, the guard drops behind me, and there's a train going in front of me and behind me. That's kind of, I don't like that, y'all. Has that ever happened to y'all? I don't like that. Well, Amy has told me that, you know, just relax. It happened for a reason. God's trying to slow you down. He's trying to teach you something. He's wanting you to see something. And I often wonder, since she has put that in my mind, and I believe it's true, I often wonder now how many times we've missed something. What is it that we've missed? Because generally when something like that happens, and many of y'all have admitted to me that y'all have road rage, I know. When stuff like that happens, you get upset. You throw stuff. You get upset, you get mad, and you miss what it is that God wants you to see. Well, this morning I'm going to be speaking on something that happened, an experience that I had, and what I believe God taught me. I believe that if you'll pay attention, you'll see and you'll understand that God wants to teach you something as well. Not because it's me, because it's Him. Amen? Before I get into that, let me thank Tony. Tony, thank you for standing in for me last week. Church, please, thank you so much for allowing your pastor to be away for Mother's Day. I don't know how many more, you know, Mother's Days I'm going to be able to experience with my mother, but it was good to be with her. The woman tried to work me to death. She found everything, every problem that was in that house while we were there, and we fixed them all, I think. I imagine she's getting another list together for next time we're there. Romans chapter 12, or excuse me, Romans chapter 14. A couple of weeks ago, I found myself in a place that all of us love to be. Every single one of us loved to be here. I was in the Chatham County courtroom. Now, I don't know whether it's more fun to be in the Chatham County courtroom or the DMV. I mean, it's a toss-up. It's a big toss-up. Now, I sat and listened to countless cases being called before the judge, the prosecution reading the charges of each defendant, lawyers speaking on behalf of their clients. Every motion that was taking place in the courtroom seemed methodical, mundane, and repetitive. There were several times in the first hour that I was there, that I found myself just about to nod off, just about to fall asleep. And then the bailiff approached a man who had done just that. He had nodded off in the courtroom and fallen asleep. Listen, there was a man sitting on the same row of seats or just behind us who had fallen asleep, just enough not to look up from time to time to notice the glare of the bailiff to wake up. The courtroom was loudly interrupted with a sound of, "You will have respect for this courtroom. If you cannot keep your eyes open, you will leave my courtroom now, sir." The room was deathly silent as it is now, and all eyes were darting to the bailiff and the man who had fallen asleep to see what was going to happen next. Now, at this point, after about an hour, and I didn't know that you could do this, but the judge called for a break. And I'm thinking, I don't have time for a break. I need to go. And Tony, I thought, how inconsiderate is this? How inconsiderate for him to take a break? And he took a break, and it was about a 30 or 45 minute break. And then he came back. The judge never lost stride from his first list as to the next case was called, and a man no one had ever seen yet was escorted into the room from a door at the very back right-hand corner of the courtroom. So we're sitting here, and it was right there where Larry's standing. Larry, you're standing in front of the door, okay? The man was wearing a county jail issue one-piece suit and wearing handcuffs and leg cuffs. He had sheriff's deputies holding him on both arms. When this man entered the room, I watched intently as the judge leaned forward and changed the look on his face. He had a look of compassion like I had not seen with any other cases that morning. The judge quoted from memory the rights the man who stood before him legally possessed for being an American citizen of Chatham County. And at the end of his words, the judge asked, "Sir, do you understand your rights? He has your lawyer who represents you in the courtroom made you aware of everything that I just stated?" The man answered, "Yes, sir, I do." And the prosecuting attorney who was represented Chatham County read the list of charges. Now, some of you, listen, some of you who are sitting here this morning, this is nothing new to you. That happened to me. I know. I walked in that back door. I know exactly what he's talking about. Some of you are like, "Man, that's crazy." But the prosecuting attorney, Glenn, started listing this man's list of charges. And before that, Ricky, it was just like, you know, simple possession, drinking of a minor, speeding. And not this guy, the guy who walked out the back corner, right-hand corner, Angie, he had a list long as my leg. And I don't know exactly what this man did, but it had something to do with a gun, and I think he had something to do with holding people, and they didn't want to be held, and I think there was some battery that took place, and I think, you know, he was under the influence of something. I'm not sure what. But he wasn't leaving, he wasn't going home that day. He didn't spend Mother's Day with his mama, okay? Prosecuting attorney read all those list of charges. And the judge looked at him, and he asked the man, "Are you accepting or are you guilty of these charges?" And the man had an attorney, and he started going off. The attorney wasn't talking. Now, just in case nothing like this has ever happened to y'all before, listen to me. Alec, you're getting ready to go on a cruise. I hope you don't get arrested, but if this happens to you, listen to me. Just keep your mouth shut. Because number one, your mama will kill you if you don't keep your mouth shut. But I learned this. You keep your mouth shut and let your attorney talk for you. Because this man started going on. He said, ho, I'm not sure I understand. The judge says, "I just ask you if you understood." The judge's demeanor changed. He said, "You said you understood what was taking place here. We read your charges. Are you guilty? The prosecution is ready to give you a plea. Are you ready for that plea?" "Oh, no, I'm not ready for a plea." The judge says, "Take him back. Take him back to his cell." At this point in time, this man's physical, mental, and just overall demeanor completely and totally changed. He was, he was somewhat rational, but when the judge said, "Take him back to the cell," I don't know what was going on in the cell earlier that day, but this man, listen, understand me, this man did not want to go back to that cell. He did not. So he tried to plead with the judge. Hold on a second. Let me understand what their I'll accept their plea. I'll accept their plea. Judge says, sir, you don't understand. That's not on the table anymore. Because of your actions and the way you are acting right now, the prosecuting attorney said, listen, we're not this, the plea's not even acceptable anymore. We're not going to give him this plea. So the man starts going crazy, somewhat crazy, trying to explain himself. The judge stopped him the second time and said, sir, listen to me, understand, if you say one more word, I'm going to hold you in contempt. Add that to your charges, and you're going to be held for even longer. Do you understand that? Yes, sir, I do. And he just went on and on. They had to physically, Brother Frank, physically take him out. And as they were dragging him down that hall, I don't know how long that hall was, but you could hear him being dragged down that hall, hollering that he wanted a different type of justice. Now, church, as I sat there in the courtroom, trying to figure out what I had just witnessed, as I felt both compassion for the man that was sentenced and sorrow for the victim the man had hurt, God gave me this message. Do you understand that each and every one of us has a court date coming? Do you understand that you have a court day coming? Do you realize that this is a date that we will not be able to just not show up for? On this day of our trial, we will not be the judge, we will not be the jury, we will not even be the lawyer, but we will be that man who was brought into the room through the door at the very back right-hand corner of the room. We will be escorted into the presence of the judge, and we will not leave that room until judgment is imposed. Righteous judgment is imposed on each and every one of us. Your day's coming. Your day's coming. Look at Romans chapter 14, verse 5. Romans chapter 14, verse 5. One person considers one day to be above another. Someone else considers every day to be the same. Each one must be fully convinced in his own mind. Whoever observes a day, observes it to the Lord. Whoever eats, eats to the Lord. Since he gives thanks to God, whoever does not eat, it is of the Lord he does not eat. Yet he thanks God. For none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. If we live, we live to God. If we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. Christ died and came to life for this, that he might rule over both the dead and the living. But you, why do you criticize your brother? Or you, why do you look down on your brother? For we all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow to me and every tongue will give praise to God. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. Understand me. Your court date is coming. You will give an account for your life to the Lord. Brother Kyle, I'm not me. I don't believe that. Listen to me. I don't care whether you believe it or not, it's going to still take place. I don't believe the Bible is literal. I don't believe it's... You can believe that all you want. It's still not going to change what's going to happen. Your court day, your day in court is coming.
Church, I believe on this day, as I stand before the judge, as we all will, as the proceedings start, something like this is going to be read. Look at John chapter 12. Just like the man read to the man who came out of the back right-hand corner, he said, "Do you understand all of this?" I believe that we're going to be read something very similar to John chapter 12. John chapter 12, verse 44. Then Jesus cried out, "The one who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And the one who sees me sees him who sent me. I have not come as the light into the world, so that everyone who I have come as a light into the world, so that everyone who believes in me would not remain in darkness. If anyone hears my words and doesn't keep them," better pay attention. Listen. "If anyone hears my words and doesn't keep them, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. The one who rejects me and doesn't accept my sayings has this as his judge." Listen, Jesus says, "I'm not going to judge you." He has this as the judge. "The word I have spoken will judge him on the last day." You know what's going to judge you? You know what's going to judge your actions? The very thing that you spend the least amount of time with. This right here. This right here. The word of God. The word of God is going to judge you. Verse 49. "For I have not spoken on my own, but the Father himself who sent me has given me a command as to what I should say and what I should speak. I know that his command is eternal life. So the things that I speak just as the Father has told me." You know what he's saying? Listen, pay attention. Pay close attention. You better get this. You better understand this. This better be the first thing you read at night and the last thing that you hold on to before you close your eyes. This is important. There's nothing more important. Jesus said, there's nothing more important. Listen, you're all going to be judged, and I'm not going to judge you. The Word of God's going to judge you. But we got a problem then. Y'all know that old all those NASA movies when something's going on and on the rocket, and they call down to NASA and they say, "Houston, we got a problem. Right now, church, we got a problem." Because I guarantee you, listen, my Wednesday night class, which, I mean, they're good. When I give them tests, they say, "Brother Kyle, don't look at my paper. Don't look at my paper." Do you know what we ought to know better than the statistics of the Atlanta Braves and the Atlanta Falcons? Do you know what we ought to know better than the manual for our car? Do you know what we ought to know better than the shoes that are in the closet, the clothes that we wear, the latest fashions, the best hunting gear? Do you know what we ought to know better than anything in the world as Christians? We ought to know the Word of God backwards and forwards, in, out. We ought to know every book. We ought to have it memorized, church. It's that important. It is really that important. Why? Because the Word of God is going to judge you. Well, I believe that we're going to have a day in court. And listen, Jesus said he wasn't going to judge us, but the Word of God's going to judge us? How in the world is that going to happen? We'll get to it. Church, can I tell you, as a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ, now pay attention. Can I tell you, as a gospel of the of Jesus Christ, that I am petrified of this day coming to me? Mr. Donald, I've got a day coming. I've got a trial coming. I've got a day in court coming. And I'm scared to death. Listen, I'm petrified. That day that I stand before a righteous judge of the world and give account for the life that I live. Church, can I tell you that I'm afraid for each and every one of you as well? I'm afraid for you. Can I tell you why? Listen to me. I'm afraid because I know what I've done and I know how I've lived. I know I'm forgiven, but I'm still, listen, I've never stood before a righteous and a holy God. I'm afraid for me. But can I tell you why I'm mostly afraid for you? Because you don't seem to be afraid at all. You don't seem to be scared at all. Your actions show that you're, I don't care. You're flippant. You say you love God, but there's no evidence. Well, you don't know me. You don't judge me. I'm not judging you. But as your pastor, I want you to understand, I'm concerned for you. I'm concerned for the church. This isn't just me. I'm talking about every part. When pastors get together and we talk, how are things going in your church? Man, we're doing great. Awana, we're right at 100 people. You know, we just did this and we're doing that. But, you know, there just doesn't seem to be a hunger and a thirst for and a desire to dive in deep to the Word of God. That's what we as pastors talk about. People are hit and miss. They don't care whether they have a deep relationship and a growing understanding of the Word of God. They think they've got enough. They don't need any more. They very seldom ever attend church. I'm afraid. I'm afraid for myself and I'm afraid for you. But now let me explain why I'm afraid for myself and for you. On this day, none of us can run and hide. None of us can. Do you know, and I didn't know this, but when you're called, you better take it serious. You better call down there. And I'd ask a lot of questions. There's a lot has changed since I got called for jury duty. And I, listen, y'all better take that thing serious. But if you get called for jury duty, Griffin, and you decide, well, man, June 1st, I'm going fishing that day. You better call them and tell them, say, look, you know, I'm planning to go fishing that day. That ain't going to fly. But you better call them, because if you don't, you're going to be held for contempt of court. If you just don't show up, you're going to be in trouble, I promise you. And there's people in Chatham County, they're like a shotgun waiting for you not to show up. If you don't show up, they're coming after you and they're going to do everything they can. Why? Because it is your civic duty. We ought to take it serious. But you better not just not show up. On this day, none of us can run and hide. We can't just not show up for court and be slapped with contempt of court for not showing up on that day. On this day, you will be there, and you will, like me, will most definitely give an account for the life that you've lived here on this earth. You will. You know all those things that nobody knows but you and God? You're going to give account for that. Everything. All the things in the closet, everything's in the back corner, everything that you know you ought not be doing, everything that you did Friday and Saturday, but you cleaned yourself up, brushed your teeth, and put on some clean clothes, and came to church on Sunday morning. All those things. God knows. And you're going to give an account for it. I'm going to give an account for it. Listen, there'll be lost. Lost people will have their day in court. I hope I don't have somebody in the courtroom. I hope I don't want to see that. I just don't want to see that. Years ago, I'd get called for city court. I'm just one of those lucky people that they always draw my name. And I used to love, Bob, I used to love to just go and just watch the proceedings. Probably because I was a big Perry Mason fan. Anybody know Perry Mason? Yeah, I just loved it. But, you know, I don't want to see a lost person come in the room. Because this is how I think it's going to take place. I don't think it's going to be much different from the way they act here on this earth. You know, when you ask them about Jesus, have you ever accepted Christ as your personal Savior? Well, I don't believe that. I don't believe in that Jesus stuff. You know, you can feel the arrogance, you can feel the pride, and you know, we have this thing as Christians called discernment. Some of us use it, some of us don't. Some of us, I mean, it's not a magic wand or anything, but you can feel when you're in the presence of a Christian. You can feel it. Scripture says our souls bear witness to one another. We can feel it. You can also tell when you're in the presence of a lost person. You can. And you listen, you don't have to be around them very long before they'll testify of themselves that they're lost. You know what I'm saying? But when on this day when the lost show up for their day in court, you know, Christians, I believe, we're going to fall face down before Jesus because we're going to finally see ourselves the way He sees us. But this lost person, I still believe, Ricky, there's going to be a little bit of arrogance and a little bit of pride. Well, you know, whoa, ho, ho, hey, you are real. So these Christians were right. You are real. Listen, pay attention. Don't go to sleep. Not now. Not now. Listen, you can go to sleep when the ball game's on later on this afternoon. But this lost person is going to stand before Jesus, and he's going to say, hey, listen, not my bad, I didn't know, I'll accept you now. It's too late then. You will not, listen to me, understand, and this isn't my opinion, this is what the Word of God says. When you stand before the righteous judge and you look at him and say, I didn't know, it doesn't matter, it's too late then. It's too late then. You will not be able to accept Christ as your personal Savior when you stand before Him. You will not. Brother Kyle, can you show me where it says that in the Word of God? Listen, if you can't find it yourself, I suggest you get in the Word of God. Don't ask me anymore. Don't ask me anymore. This Word is going to judge you. It's going to judge me. You ought to know it just as good as I do. Got quiet, didn't it? But there's going to be somebody else. Listen, there's going to be complacent and procrastinators. They're going to have their day in court as well. These are Christians or non-Christians, but there's going to be a lot of Christian procrastinators. Well, I know what to do. I know the Word of God says, go into all the world preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. I know. But listen, I'm busy. When I retire, I'm going to get serious with God. I'm going to start doing the things that I need to do. Hey, listen, I know that preacher's been down there for 5 years, and I haven't gone much on Sunday night to hear him preach. God, I know, listen, you've given him the messages. I know you've given them to him. You've prepared him. But I hadn't gone, and I'm going to start going on Sunday night. Now I'm going to go more on Wednesday night. I'm going to get more involved. Listen, procrastinators, they're going to stand before Jesus. What are you going to say on your court date? How are you going to explain yourself? Yes, sir, I knew what I was supposed to do. I knew right and wrong. But, you know, I wanted to spend a little extra time at the pool. I wanted to go to the beach. I wanted to go to the roller derby. I wanted to go to the car show. And listen, hunting season, it's only a two-month window. It's only a two-month window, and I only miss 6 or 8 Sundays. What are you going to say? You're not going to be standing in front of me. Well, Brother Kyle, listen, I have to do this, and I have to work. Listen, that's why we have church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. We give people a broad range of opportunity to come to church. What are you going to say when you stand before, not me, but a holy and a righteous God? He's not going to accept your excuse. There's going to be somebody else there. There's going to be lukewarm Christians there that day. You know, they're spoken of in the book of Revelation. Book of Revelation, Jesus says, be you not lukewarm, lest I spit you out of my mouth. Lukewarm Christians are going to stand before Jesus. They're going to have their get out of hell free card in their pocket. But you're going to have to give an explanation as to why you were lukewarm. Why you accepted Christ as your personal Savior but never did anything with it. You never did anything with it. There's going to be somebody else there. Oh, yeah, listen, the grumblers and complainers are going to be there, and they're going to have their day in court as well. You know, God, I was going to get involved, but But all those people, all they did, listen, they didn't do it right. They didn't spend it right. They didn't organize right. You know, I would have gotten involved, but I didn't want to have to deal with so-and-so. And I didn't want to have to. Listen, all they had open was small children. And you know me, God, I don't work well with small children. Do you know we've got the same people working? And this is what I've been told. I didn't ask for any names. We've got the same people working over and over and over again in nursery. We've got mothers who take their children to the nursery. They don't even work in the nursery. Does that even make sense to you? We ought to have a mandate. Deacons, y'all listen, we might be having a mandate. If you have a child and you take it to the nursery, by law, you have to work in the nursery. If somebody has to listen to your children screaming and crying and change their diaper, you've got to change somebody else's diaper. Brother Kyle, hey, listen, I had to serve in the nursery. A man? Yeah. Yeah, and in my home church, the men and women did. I had a deacon tell me I've served my time in the nursery. I was like, man, you don't need to be on the deacon board. Being a Christian is about service. It's about serving other people. Giving people the opportunity to hear the word of God, to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's going to be complainers there. There's going to be complainers. They're going to have their day in court. Church, listen, there will be people on this day stand before the righteous judge and say, I did not know all of this. How is this my fault? Griffin, they're going to look at Jesus and say, I didn't know. I did not know. No, nobody told me. Nobody. Nobody. I didn't know. And I think, listen to me, I think, look back at John. Look back at John. John chapter 12, verse 47. Jesus says, if anyone hears my words and doesn't keep them, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. The one who rejects me and doesn't accept my sayings has this as his judge. The word I have spoken will judge him on that last day. There may be somebody in Africa. There may be somebody in the Middle East. Y'all look up here, wake up. I'm just about done. There may be somebody in Asia or India who can make this statement. I didn't know. But please understand something. There's nobody in America, the United States of America, who can make that comment, who can say that. There are Bibles everywhere. If you don't have a Bible, we'll get you a Bible. There are Bibles everywhere. Listen, all of y'all have cell phones. You've got smartphones. You've got access to not one Bible, but thousands of Bible and hundreds of translations. On top of that, you've got commentaries. You've got all kind of information right there on your phone. Do you realize the age that we live in, that we're going to be judged more harshly than the generations that came? Why? Because we have a greater understanding. We have the capability to understand the Word of God like no other generation has. And listen to me, this generation doesn't know squat about the Word of God. Nothing. You ask this generation the basic question, how many books are there in the Bible? There's more than one? Yeah. How many prophetical books are there in the Bible? What's a prophetical book? They don't know. But you know what blows my mind? They act like they know everything. Everything. You say, you know, hey, can you wind that water hose up over there? Now look, turn the water off. I know! But they know nothing about the Word of God. Nothing. But they have access to everything. Their day's coming. Church, why is this message so important today? Why is this message important today? Why is it that God put this message on my heart to preach today? Why did God put me in the courtroom to see what I saw and to learn what I learned? Why is this image of this man screaming as he was physically dragged out of the courtroom so burned in my mind? Because we all have a day in court coming. All of us. Well, I'm not going. Oh, yes, honey, you are. Yes, you are, darling. You going. Listen, you are going to be escorted into the presence of a holy and a righteous God. And listen, so some of you have been kind of catnapping during the service. Listen, on that day, there ain't going to be no catnapping. You're going to be scared to death because you are going to see that righteous judge in front of you, and you're going to see yourself the way he's seen you your whole life. We all have a date. But number two, because we should know and with the fear of the Lord tremble that the way we are living, the way we have lived is not good enough. Well, I've lived pretty good, Brother Kyle. Not good enough. Well, hold on, listen. You know, I do come to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I'm an Awana leader. I'm a director. Hey, look, I'm the commander. I run the sound. I was under the stage running chords. It's still not good enough. It's not good enough. Listen, that's what I've learned. I'm not perfect. Listen, I am not. I'm not perfect. Ask these two on the front row. They'll tell you I'm not perfect. But this is what I've learned as a Christian. The closer I get to Jesus, the more He asks of me. Not the less He asks of me. He listen. Oh, well, listen, hey, brother. Listen, you. Take some time off. Hey, you don't have to come. Hey, take some time off. I know how busy you are. God's never done that to me. The closer the people I see who are the closest with the Lord, they're like this. They're chomping at the bits. What else can I do? Am I lying? They'll call up here two or three times a week. Listen, is there anything I can do? They're always up here, always writing, always calling, always doing something. They want to be involved. They want to be involved in what Jesus is involved with. I've never seen Jesus say, hey, listen, baby, hey, you listen. Come here, darling. Come here. You've worked hard. You take some time off. I've never seen that before. Can I tell you why? Because Jesus understands. We don't have a lot of time left. You're running out of time. We should tremble because the world is getting worse. And the witnesses, listen, the witnesses for the Lord are becoming fewer. Listen, the ones of us who see it, and you ought to be able to see it. How many of y'all agree the world's getting worse? How many of y'all will agree that the witnesses for the Lord are getting fewer? We're becoming silent. If you're serious about your walk with the Lord, and listen, you're growing with Him, here in a second we're going to have an invitation. You know what you ought to be doing? You ought to come down here and say, Lord, I'll take their names. I don't know. Listen, I know that I haven't done everything that I'm supposed to do, but I know that the witnesses are getting fewer and fewer. I'll stand in their gap. I'll do what they're supposed to be doing. There's another reason. There is so much to be done and being undone because nobody wants to do what God has called them to do. Nobody. Well, brother, God, I know you asked me to do so-and-so, but I like what Glenn's doing. Can I just hang out with Glenn? Me and Glenn are going to hang out, and I'm just going to do what Glenn's doing. God didn't call you to do that. Do what God called you to do. Well, I don't know what God called you to do. Well, I suggest you get in the Word of God and get on your knees. Listen, He doesn't save you. He does not save you just to save you. He saves you, listen, that you might be of use to Him. And if you are just saved and you're not doing anything for Him, you're useless to Him. But there's another reason. Last reason. An invitation. Just listen. This could be your day in court. Today. Today could be your day in court. Right now, in just a few minutes, the judge has already found his seat right now, and he's sitting in his seat. the bailiff has already quieted the courtroom, and the attorneys have already given the judge the day's names that will be called before him. You are the very next name to be called on that list. You will show up. You will shut your mouth. You will be heard. The life that you've lived up to this point, you'll answer for the Lord. Are you ready? Are you ready for that? We ought to tremble at that thought. Let's all stand. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, I'm not going to say anything. Let your Spirit move. God, I pray that your Spirit would move during this time of invitation, that your will would be done. In Christ Jesus' name, I do pray. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, do you need to come down to this altar? You know. Will you come?